This is Eddie Gonzato, the executive editor of GamerNode.com, and I'm here with a bunch of Halo Reach players. We have Tyler Cameron. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on? I like Halo.
And Mike Murphy, who has surpassed Tyler Cameron's achievement status in Halo Reach.
Yes, 965 gamer score out of 1,000. Just two more to go.
Matt Arazo.
Get it right, Noble.
There you go. And Kyle Hilliard.
Hey, I'm going to try to play Halo during the podcast. We'll see how much of a failure it is. I'm playing zombies with swords right now, so far so terrible.
Nice. And that Ashley Godwold is here as well, returning.
My Halo gamer score is zero. Just wanted to...
At least I beat somebody.
Awesome. How far have you played in Halo Reach?
Myself? I have watched Kyle play a lot of it. I have not played any of it. He's been trying to convince me, but I have not
yet. I'm going to get her on wild during the podcast, and we'll see how it goes. It'll be a terrible failure, it'll be...
Oh, this is great.
This is going to be good.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll have the spectator's viewpoint as well. All right, well, I actually haven't played a whole lot of Reach yet. I started some of the single player, and I have some thoughts, but I think we'll open it up to the gamer score king, Mike Murphy, to start us off.
All right, so in my opinion, it felt like it was a love letter from Bungie to all of their Halo fans. They gave a prequel story that a lot of fans really liked. A lot of fans, including myself personally, wanted to know like how Reach got so messed up, see how it all went down, see how exactly the Pillar of Autumn escaped, stuff like that, who the hell Dr. Halsey is. And I think the campaign was great. And then the multiplayer, they went and threw in every single kind of just game mode that you can think of from Halo 2 and Halo 3, and they put it into Reach. The firefight finally has matchmaking, which I'm very proud of, and they also have a ton of throwback like Halo 2 maps, which I love, and of course Ascension. They brought back Forge mode. Yes. And so essentially I think that overall Bungie did a great job of just making this a giant love letter and goodbye, farewell to all their fans as they leave the series and hand it off to 343 Industries before they go off making a new IP with Activision. But I guess I'll now open it up to everybody else. I guess we'll start with the campaign. For those of you who have played it, what do you guys think of it? What do you guys think of the story so far? We'll give any spoilers away. And what do you guys think of any gameplay changes or the new weapons and all that good stuff?
I have always found the campaign of all the Halos kind of repetitive, frankly. to be a negative Nancy, and I think Reach is kind of more of the same. Like, you know, just kind of pushing your way past a group of grunts to make your way to another group of grunts to make your way to another group of grunts, you know. And the story, I haven't beaten it yet, and I'm enjoying the story so far, but the gameplay just it gets repetitive for me, but that's just kind of me personally. I know that's not universal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I actually agree with you, though, a little bit. I feel like it's hard to look past the overwhelming positivity about Halo, and if you do, you get shunned. But I know...
Shunned the non-believer.
I think what Halo does the best is make me a heretic. No, I think what Halo does the best is set up these high action scenarios that allow for memorable moments. So it's definitely, it's not without excitement, but I feel like there's something missing in terms of, I don't know, maybe just the flow of the game. Like Kyle said, you're doing a lot of just shooting at these grunts to get to the next set of grunts, and it has the feeling of a corridor shooter without being in corridors. Like, you have these wide open spaces, but it's very just one track to me. I call that a pipeline shooter. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
That seems to be a pretty accurate description.
What difficulty are you playing on?
I'm on normal.
That's why.
That's why, because, like, for me, like, I find that, like, yes, it can be repetitive and just moving on from grunt skirmish to grunt skirmish on the lower difficulties, but once you start getting up to heroic and especially legendary, it's, like, almost, it's, like, seriously work to take down a elite, and if you have a group of them, like, that is a situation that requires you to deal with it in a certain way, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of skill, and
yeah.
It's kind of just like the only way I can get through the campaigns on Legendary is to take each elite one step at a time. So like each elite that I fight, each group is just like an individual battle. And then I take it one at a time and move on to the next one. And by the time I get done with it, outsmart the enemy and finally win. It's like a little victory. And that keeps me going on to the next area where I can do it again. And like every time I win, I feel that I'm actually awesome, and, like, I'm doing really good, and I'm being rewarded for, like, doing better and stuff like that. Okay. At least that's just how I feel about the difficulty and, like, the progression in that sense.
That's sort of, like, an enlightening way to put it to me, because I think the combat AI is really good in the game.
It is extremely good, and, like, when those elites start jumping around and, like, you can get, like, maybe one or two headshots on before they jump out of the way, I mean... You can't just sit back and just pop at him.
You gotta use everything.
Yeah, you gotta use everything in your power. You gotta use grenades. You gotta use melee. You gotta use the armor ability.
Look for destructibles in the environment to deal extra damage.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, everything is like it's like a own little dynamic puzzle, and you have to figure out how to do it. And it punishes the shit out of you the second you mess up. I mean, those elites are no joke. They will assassinate your ass. They will hit you once and die. Their little grunt buddies will be chucking grenades at you, and they flank you like crazy. But
in the later levels, the grunts also don't just have like the plasma pistols too. They'll have the fuel rod cannons. So like, if you focus on the elites too, those little bastards will go ahead and just blow the living crap out of you too.
Grunts will also—they'll charge up their pistol and shoot at you to drop your shields, and then every other enemy will just turn towards you and start trying to take you out. I've seen, like, I've been playing Halo since the very, very beginning, and when I got Reach, I was expecting 3, honestly, just with, like, a squad around you, but the AI in this game has surprised the hell out of me. I have seen things in this one that I have never seen in any game or in any Halo game. Grunts are more aggressive, they're dangerous now, Like Tyler said, elites are no joke. Like usually elites in 3 and 2 were nothing, but here they're frightening. go ahead.
I was just gonna say, in the earlier Halo games, you would start popping rounds into an elite, and he would just growl at you and lower his head, and it would just be an easy kill. And now in this one, you pop one shot on an elite, regardless of where it is, and they instantly duck out of the way, and everybody else in the squad that's with him just rushes you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I had one experience where I was fighting an elite, and out of nowhere, a grunt flanked me and then stuck me with a grenade. And I'd never seen a grunt do that, because grunts usually just run around calling you the demon and not doing anything. So.
And the jackals got a lot tougher, too. They used to be, like, easy one-shot, pot-shot kills. And now there are times where, like, you have to hit them, like, a good 2 or 3 times in the head in order to kill them.
Dude, they are fast as shit now. Those things move. Oh, yeah.
And they can jump now. Like, normally they just would, like, do little jumps every once in a while. They will jump, like, whole levels up into your face and just beat the crap out of you. Like, there's one thing that Halo really does right. It's enemy AI.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Which...
And that becomes apparent in Heroic and Legendary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when you're playing on easy and normal, like, it kind of loses... its excitement and its tensity and everything. I think, like, once you start to get to Heroic is when you really get, like, a quality campaign experience.
Okay, yeah, because playing on normal, the enemies still, they take a lot of shots, considering it's easy to take them down, but it's not really a big challenge. It's just, like, you have to grind away at them, and that's sort of annoying because it just feels useless. But if it were a big challenge like that, then that's understandable. I've actually never played a Halo game on Heroic or Legendary, so I guess...
Oh, man. Well, then you haven't lived, sir.
I was just going to say, you should give it a shot on Heroic, then, if you want a challenge.
See, I think it's, I think it might, for me, it's just that I'm not, like, that great at Halo. Like, I love Halo. I'm a huge Halo fan, but I'm really, even though I've played every one, I'm really just not that good at Halo. So when you bump it up to Heroic or Legendary, it just, like, leads to frustration for me. You know, and that's, and that, I can attribute to that, to just not being good at Halo. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like, there are some encounters that can be, like, when I trudged through Legendary on the later chapters, there were points where I was spending half an hour to 45 minutes at a time going over and over again this one battle because it was such a pain.
Because, I can't wait to do that.
It would take an entire clip just to bring down the shields of certain elites, and, like, you would and it would take you, like, 10 minutes just to take down two or three elites, and then there would still be, like, four grunts, two jackals, and maybe another elite that you would still have to take out. Like,
yeah, and I think you're almost out of ammo by then.
See, that doesn't almost. That loses its fun to me pretty quickly, you know? So,
I mean, it's understandable. I mean, definitely. I guess, like, I just find, like, a personal enjoyment out of it that others don't. And there's nothing wrong with, like, playing it on normal or easy, for that matter. I mean, it's still an awesome campaign with, like, amazing set pieces, a great storyline, and great characters, you know? You can still enjoy it from any difficulty. It's just that, I guess personally for me, and I'm guessing Mike there too, is that, like, the later difficulties just provide, like, a heightened experience. Like, the AI is just jacked up. The difficulty is spiked. There's more in the line. I don't know. It's just, you get through by the skin of your teeth almost, and, like, that is rewarding to me.
Yeah, I definitely see the draw of it. Like, I totally understand why people fall in love with it, but it doesn't work for me. It just gets me frustrated. It just makes me want to go online and just kind of hang out with my friends, because that's kind of what Halo is for me, is just kind of, like, hanging out with my buddies, you know, and just, like, being part of the totally unpredictable physics clusterfuck that is Halo, you know what I mean?
Well, I feel you about the difficulty, too. I'm like, I'm not going to masquerade like I'm actually good at Halo. even on normal, I get hit a lot, so I could just imagine, like, on those higher difficulties, I'd probably be dying most of the time as well. So I'm sort of, like, on the fence about whether that experience that Tyler and Mike are describing is worth trying to achieve when I know that my skill is sort of not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of do have to work up to it. That's why I started on Heroic, and then once I got used to campaign enough, I will go back on Legendary. But I mean, I think another thing the game is really good at too is kind of, like, tricking you into think that you're doing real good, and then all of a sudden, like, you're like, you turn around and, like, oh my god, I'm fucked.
It's another big thing about, I think, Halo on the higher difficulties is what weapons you bring to the fight can dramatically change how you perceive that fight.
Some weapons become practically useless in Legendary. Like, you heavily rely on the DMR in Legendary.
Best weapon in the game.
And the Needler is a very, very valuable weapon in single player on Legendary. Works
really
extremely well on everything but elites. It will, this because brutes don't have shields, it will literally destroy them. If you're playing elites, you'd probably want a pistol or an assault rifle or a Covenant variant of that.
See, I always used to play a game where I would play multiplayer, and I would try to get kills with the Needler. Like, that was a game for me. Like, if I could get one kill with the Needler, like, I was like, yeah, I win. So, but the Needler's gotten a lot more powerful, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so unfortunately, at this point, we lost the recording due to a program error. We went on for another hour or so, but that's all gone now. What I have for you is a discussion later recorded between myself and Sinan Kuba of the Big Red Potion podcast, and we'll get to that in just a moment.
I've been playing a bit of Reach. Halo Reach.
Reach for the stars.
You see, that's every time that comes in my head when I play it. I think it's good for what it is. I do like that they've introduced kind of this squad-based thing, which I guess they had in ODST, but I never played it. But I'm guessing it sounds like, you know, ODST squad troopers. That suggests it was kind of a squad thing, so you got a bit more of a kind of character and story going on. It's a bit darker, but I still find that universe really hard to take seriously.
Exactly. Yo, I had a round table yesterday with all my guys, and they talked for, not all the guys, but they talked for like 2 hours, and I only got 20 minutes of the recording because Pamela screwed up.
Oh, no.
But yeah, they were all super like enthusiastic about it. And one of the things that I said, like, I was the most negative, obviously, because this time I actually started to play, and instead of just, you know, assuming that I don't like it and just saying, whatever, it's Halo, I don't like it, I like sat down. I tried to really like it, and then second, I tried to really understand and, you know, take note of what made me not like it. And one of them is the Covenant. They're laughable. Like, the Halo tries so desperately to be serious, but it's so not. Like, they're all colorful, and the shields are all glowy. I don't know, it's hard.
It's the little Ewoks in particular. I just don't understand how... You can see it's interesting playing Halo and then going to Halo 3 and then going to Reach so quickly, because you can see how they've tried to mature the little grunts, which I like to call Ewoks. So in the first game, they're really like, oh my god, don't shoot me! You know, really ridiculous. In the third game, they're a little bit, like, less high-pitched, but still kind of, run away! And this
flailing
their
arms.
In this one, they still flail their arms, but they have this kind of voice to them. It's been like this. So they've tried to kind of make them, like, not serious, but not immature. It's just like, they still, like you say, they flail their arms. They still are easy to kill. They still don't really serve a function.
Right. What did they say exactly? They said that the atmosphere, like, it was to alleviate the feeling of helplessness, like, that the humans were going to be overrun. And I was like, well, if the narrative was actually, like, heavy, then yeah. You know, if it actually was layered into the game, then yeah. But the narrative's not really that good and not well woven into what you're doing, ever. So I never felt that way.
No. I mean, the first game story is pathetic. It really is. I think I saw Jared Newman, who's, you know, a very intelligent guy. I think one of the most intelligent games writers I know, saying Halo's story was good, the first one.
The first one.
Oh, yeah, and I was like,
Well, he said that was the best of the series.
Well, maybe that's him saying it's the least worst. I don't know. That's maybe him being coy. But he does seem to be a very big fan of the series, so I don't know. Mm. But, like, it's... For starters, like, I think... They were trying to be wackier in that first game than the series is trying to be now. I mean, you have a character called Master Chief, which is in itself a double superlative.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's—I don't really get this last man standing thing. It just seemed to be more like he's the kind of Arnold Schwarzenegger guy who they had in Stasis, and let's just bring him out to fuck the Earth, fuck the Covenant with. It didn't seem.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's the last guy left, which a lot of people seem to suggest that's what the story's like. It's like, no, it's not. You've got all these people around you who are helping you.
Mm-hmm. These guys were saying whenever the Master Chief shows up, everyone responds as if they thought that they were done for before, but now that the Master Chief is there, they feel like they're saved. And I was like, well, I never really saw that.
You can see that in Halo 3 a bit.
Yeah.
You can see a little bit of that in Halo 3. But I don't know. I think it feels more like, you know, this thing is this beast, which was really popular on the Xbox for being the kind of only shooter, really.
Yeah, that's why. It was the only one that was available to console players.
Exactly. I mean, it has a real feel of GoldenEye to it. So
I was going to say GoldenEye. GoldenEye for me was the same thing. I was a Nintendo 64 player, and that was like the first-person shooter. And I was like, oh man, this is amazing. But now if you play it, it's like, GoldenEye really is kind of shoddy.
Yeah, exactly. But it was that four-player split screen, and you're all hunched around the city from telly. And I get that feeling with Halo quite a lot from this. I remember playing split-screen multiplayer with my friend when I was at university with him, and then getting that kind of similar feeling. But I just think it got out of hand, and if someone's taken it, I don't know, fans took it too seriously, or the Bungie thought themselves too important. I don't know.
Yeah, now everyone believes it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everyone believes that Halo's really good when it's really just sort of standard, you know?
I think the multiplayer in Halo 3 is not just not between good and very good. Like I enjoy it a lot, and I can, you know, see myself putting lots of hours into it. But it's nothing that no other multiplayer shooter, Resistance, say for example, on the PS3, the first one,
mm-hmm.
is equally as good a multiplayer. Really, like it doesn't have Forge or anything, but I don't think you can. I'm never going to use Forge. I don't think many people would ever really use Forge. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the game is really about multiplayer. And I don't know if you saw, I tweeted the other day, I was like, I can't justify judging or rating a game based on the quality of my friends instead of the quality of the game itself.
It's an interesting point, actually. That's really interesting. I love that. I mean, your friends. Because, yeah, like, anyone who's playing with me on Reach is going to get a very shoddy experience. I suck so bad. I was quite good at Halo 3, I realised. Like, I put a few games in. I was like, yeah, I'm beating these people. I suck at Reach. I don't know what's changed, but I suck at Reach.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know if what they've tweaked, but it's obviously not whatever they've got rid of was what I was good at in 3. I really feel like there's the potential, because when you sort of sit back and think about it, like, what other sci-fi shooters that are really grounded in kind of the Call of Duty Army-esque sort of squad-basedness are there? And you,
with sci-fi? Actually,
yeah, and apart from Killzone, which is, let's face it, Halo clone, like, what have you got? And it's really difficult to think of anything.
Well, I can't look at my shelf. I just stood up to go look at my shelf, and I'm like, well, I wouldn't have that game if it existed.
Well, I think that the fact that one doesn't come to mind suggests that there isn't anything big. Like, you know, the only thing that kind of reminds me of Halo, weirdly enough, is Mass Effect, in terms of the kind of aesthetic.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I'm happy I bought Reach, and I will continue plugging away with it. I haven't had a shooter which I've really wanted to play in some time, and I do really want to play Reach. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, if you really want to play it, then that at least says something about it.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've really had... You know, the Call of Duties, those tend to be the only shooters I buy or get when they've released. And I never really like the multiplayer of those. Whereas I do kind of like the multiplayer in Halo, and I don't think I've had a real multiplayer shooter to sink some hours into for like three years since Resistance.
Right.
That was the last shooter I really put hours into, the multiplayer.
That's the thing, Halo's all about multiplayer.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'll enjoy it, but I'm excited to really get into the multiplayer with friends and see what the fuss is about, see if it's justified.
The funny thing about Halo to me is that it's very different. Like, it's notably different. It feels different from every other shooter that I play. And, I mean, it has its own, you know, its own control style. It is missing some controls that I tend to look for, like, you know, sprint or a hold to zoom function, things like that. Like, it seems to handle differently. Also, it has the physics, which are a good thing, but I don't know, maybe when I'm playing, I don't feel like a visceral connection to what I'm doing. I mean, there's still adrenaline. There are adrenaline-filled moments. It's exciting at times when they set up all these big situations that allow for these high action sequences. But the general combat, to me, I don't get that sense of, like... I mean, it's weird. It's going to make me sound, like, a little sick. But, like, there's a visceral feeling of the kill when you're playing a shooter. And the enemies don't seem to respond. You know, when you're hitting them, you see how they just sort of take it. And then they'll continue to jump out of the way and stuff. I mean, they have great AI. And they're good and evasive. And they'll come after you in multiple routes. But it seems to me that when you're actually firing at your enemies, you're not getting the feedback that you would get in a lot of other shooters, even going back to GoldenEye, you know, when you shoot one of the guys and they visibly respond, and it's like there's a feedback to that that is really, I don't know, it's tangible, and I don't feel it with Halo, but I do feel it with other shooters.
It's interesting because, like, what you're basically describing most of all is Call of Duty. Like, that's the most visceral shooter out there. You've got all the ambience of, you know, when a grenade hits you, you lose all your sight and vision and all that stuff. And when you're hit, your camera swings up and down and all that stuff. And I really like that for the single player in Call of Duty. Like, I think it, like I was saying the other day, it makes it, like, the most visually dramatic. But in multiplayer, it's just kind of annoying.
That's like, true. Yeah.
And that's why I get annoyed with it. And that's why I kind of think I might like Halo multiplayer, because it's much more old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just, you are essentially just, you know, using a lot of kind of old school tactics of how will I move around this particular map to best get people, what tactics can I, what kind of camping or stealth or circumventing type tactics can I use to get at them without them noticing me. And you know, he's got health bars, which you don't tend to find in shooters. I really, right. The one thing I didn't realize I would like about Halo Reach compared to the other ones before it, I think it best nails the shield and health combo.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it just has the right balance of a slightly regenerating health and a properly regenerating shield, and the health packs that you can find scattered around, which just makes that all click a bit more interestingly. And I don't know, just I can see the appeal, whereas I don't see why people really get into Call of Duty multiplayer. Just it strikes me as being something, if you're very good at it, you'll enjoy annihilating it. If you're crap, why would you continue?
Yeah, that's how a lot of things tend to be, though.
Well, no, but I can see, like, with Halo, you just enjoy it because it's kind of, there are sort of spectacular deaths and, like,
yeah.
Good kind of community sort of way of, I don't know, just the way you do matchmaking in that game, it seems very pro-community compared to something like Call of Duty, which always seems anti-community.
Yeah, it's like a, it's almost, it's more sandboxy. Like, you know, it sets up the arena for you and gives you tools to play, and then you use them without having it too directed by what the game says things should look like or feel like. And I guess that's the difference between what is valuable in a game that's focused on multiplayer versus a game that's focused on single player.
Right.
Because really, you're right, all those things would be terribly annoying in a multiplayer session. And even something as simple as, like, what I said, the hold to zoom, that makes it a much slower game, and that's more conducive to a single-player experience than a multiplayer. And, like, it even has, with the physics and the jumping, like, you know, Counter-Strike, how people are always constantly jumping. Halo, you have all this jumping. You can go pretty much anywhere. It's very limitless within each map. You know, there are less barriers, none of that restrictive, artificial crap.
Absolutely.
So that's
it's definitely much, much quicker paced. That's the one thing, like, you...
It's like Quake.
Yeah, and I loved Quake 2 and Quake as multiplayer shooters. I thought they were brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of got an Unreal Tournament vibe as well, and I really liked Unreal Tournament. So I just get this feeling like, you know, maybe I can understand what people get, or I think I might be able to understand why people go bozo about the multiplayer, just to not get the single player at all, like why anyone would care. And I really feel like there are some bad errors in the single player in Reach, in terms of, like, they've introduced all these characters who have accents. So,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. This Russian girl is telling me this
Cat.
Really important. Yeah,
I can't stand her.
She's like this really important plot point, and no offense to her fictional or her actress or whatever, but I can't understand what she's saying. It's like, it's not because she's Russian, it's because she's Russian and they've muffled the voice, and because there's stuff going on around me and there's no subtitles. So what the hell, I mean, how can I care about the story when I don't even know what I'm doing in the level?
I also feel like the accent is abnormal, like it's some, I don't know.
It does sound fake, it really does. I mean, kudos for not just going with Americans, but...
Yeah.
Got to work it out. I don't know. There's a way to make a Russian accent quite easy to understand, and that's not it.
So, yeah.
But yeah, that is what I've been playing.
And that was GamerNode's Patchwork Reach Semi-Roundtable. We wish you could have listened in on the full discussion, but we hope you enjoyed what you did get to hear. I'm Eddie Inzotto. This is GamerNode.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.